Let me go ahead and just dive right in to this message tonight. If you was here last week, we talked about, in fact, if you weren't here, didn't hear last week's message, I believe it's a right now message. We've been in a series just talking about the importance of God's supernatural, his supernatural help, miracles. A miracle is God doing for you what you cannot do for yourself. I don't believe we can move forward. I don't think we can raise families in the time that we're raising them and live lives in the moment that we're living without God's supernatural help. It's a crazy world out there. We need some God help. And so we've been really putting some emphasis on that. I believe God has directed us to do that. And last week we talked about the important part of seeing miracles. If you're going to see them, is that we're going to have to see what God sees. Let me say that again, because I believe that's an important principle. If you're going to see miracles in your life, then you're going to need for God to open up your eyes to see like he sees things. An understanding. Paul prayed it this way, that the eyes of my understanding would be enlightened. Last week we gave you this verse, and they don't have it on the screen because I wasn't going to do this review, but I believe it's important. In Psalms 119, verse 18, the psalmist prayed, and you'll see this over and over throughout scriptures, where they would pray that their eyes, not in their head, but the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened so that they would see what God sees. Because if you don't see what God sees, you're not going to have what God wants you to have. How many of you know something's fighting for your attention and your eyesight? The psalmist said it this way. He says, open my eyes so that I can see your miracle-working power. That's my prayer for us tonight, those online watching this, is that our eyes as a church, as a ministry, as a people, that our eyes would be open to the help that God has for us. In other words, you're not stuck. Come on, there's help on the way. I believe there's miracles that God wants to show up in your lives and make a way where there seems to be no way. So I encourage you I won't go back into all that, but there was four different stories we looked at, how God would open their eyes, and he opened their eyes to provision, and he opened their eyes to protection, and he opened their eyes to the right path, and he opened their eyes to his presence that's always there. And the reason why I wanted to give that a little bit of a review is I want to give a second part to that. And in Mark chapter 8, verse 22, we'll begin to read. And this is another story where eyes were open, physical eyes and spiritual eyes. And I believe it's what God would have for us tonight as we are building our homes and building our family and leading businesses and in the workplace. That this is so important. I believe it's going to help us tonight. Notice in Mark chapter 8, verse 22, it says, when they arrived at Bethsaida, some people brought a blind man to Jesus, and they begged him to touch the man and heal him. And Jesus took the blind man by the hand and let him out of the village. Then spitting on the man's eyes, what? Then spitting on the man's eyes, he laid his hands on him and asked, can you see anything now? And the man looked around and said, yes, he said, I see people, but I can't see them very clearly. They look like trees walking around. Then Jesus placed his hands on the man's eyes again, and his eyes were opened. His sight was completely restored. Now notice this part, and he could see everything clearly. That's a word for your life right now. That's a word for this house right now. That's a word for us moving forward. And he could see everything clearly. This is my prayer, is that you will begin to see everything clearly. Everything clearly. I'm talking about everything that God has for you. The purpose of God. The promises of God. A little quiet in this church tonight. I'm going to be looking for some help. Oh, that you would see everything clearly, the provision of God, the blessing, the deliverance of God. That's my prayer. That's my prayer for you. Everything, everything, everything that God has for you, everything that God has for us as a church, that we would see it clearly. I want to declare this over you tonight, that you're about to see everything that the Lord has promised and ordained and destined for you. Three people. I've worked way too hard, prayed too many hours, skipped too many meals for you to act like a frozen chosen. I'm telling you, nothing works without faith. And we need to mix some faith. I want to declare over you one more time, because I've come with a word from heaven. I want to declare this over you. You're about to see everything that the Lord has promised, ordained, and destined for your life. Everything is getting ready to show up in your life. I believe it with all my heart. How many of you are ready to see everything? Everything that God has destined you to be. Everything that God has promised. Now, if you're satisfied with seeing some of the things, then this message isn't for you. And I probably won't get much reaction out of you. So if you're here just wanted to see some things, you missed the wrong service. But if you're desperate to see everything that Christ paid the price for, so that you could have, then I believe you're in the right place. I believe you're at the right time. So here's what I want to do. I want to minister from this thought tonight or today. Everything clearly. Everything clearly. Notice verse 23. Let me just kind of work this passage. I believe there's some help and some answers for us as a people here. The Bible says in verse 23, the A clause, it says, Jesus took the blind man by the hand and let him out of the village, then spitting on the man's eyes. Really? Really, Jesus? You spit on this guy's eyes? Now, I'm reading this and I'm thinking, I don't know that there's really a need for this, Jesus. Is this really necessary? This seems completely uncalled for. I mean, who does that? Unless you're on the front row and I just happen to kind of get some on you. But who intentionally just spits on a man's eyes and rubs it in and makes it part of the church service? This just doesn't. If I did that, by Monday there would already be a lawsuit. I'd be the talk of the town on the evening and morning news. This just doesn't make sense. And that is the point that I want you to see. You see, what Jesus is showing us is that sometimes the process to the miracle doesn't make sense. Lord, this just doesn't make sense. And that's the point, is that a lot of times the process doesn't make sense. Sometimes you can't explain the process. It's just not logical. It's actually pretty messy. This guy's got Jesus's saliva all over his eyes, and I want you to catch the picture of that. It's just a messy, messy mess that doesn't make any sense. Lord, he just needs his eyes open. He don't need the saliva thing. But when it's all said and done, and I need you to hear this, when it's all said and done, this mess will become the man's miracle. This man's mess will become this man's miracle. Now, this is actually my assignment for us tonight and today. I've come to tell somebody that whatever is a mess in your life, I declare that it's about to become a miracle. Come on, I wish somebody would shout, somebody would agree, somebody would release their faith. How many of you need a miracle? Maybe I'm the only one in the room. And let me just help you out. You don't have to get excited because I already told my wife, baby, this message is all for me. I've been feeding myself. I've been preaching to myself. I've been helping myself. And I'm just here to tell you, get ready, because the mess is about ready to become your miracle. I'm talking about that relational mess. I'm talking about that emotional mess. Anybody got any emotional mess with in their life? I'm talking about a physical mess. I'm talking about a financial mess. You're about to see what you've never seen before. You're about to see that mess become a miracle. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. I know what I'm talking about. Come on, get ready. Get ready. Get ready. That mess is getting ready to become your miracle. Now, we might not understand this messy process, but the God that is involved in the process is also the same God that is producing the outcome. That's important to say, because I don't think you have to understand the process. You just got to understand there is a outcome. Come on. The outcome is a miracle. So don't confuse what you're going through with what you're going to. Maybe I ought to say that again, give you another opportunity. You at home, don't confuse what you're going through with what you're going to. There is a miracle on the other side of, come on, there's a miracle. Does anybody need a, there's a miracle on the other side of the mess. Now, most church-going people would be offended with this. How dare he spit on me? And you know what they do? They would walk away still blind, right? But apparently, this guy had nothing to lose, and he refuses to be offended by the ways of Jesus. So many today, even in church, are offended by the ways of Jesus. You see, sometimes when you've lost everything, you're willing to try anything because you have nothing else to lose. Does anybody have nothing else to lose? You're ready for whatever it takes. You see, here's what I'm trying to say. If instead of being offended with the worship and the length of the worship and the loudness of the worship and the lights and instead of being offended at it, maybe God's right there in the middle of it. You're not hearing me. Instead of being offended with the spit or with the preacher, because he don't do things the way you want him to do, God might just be in the middle of that message. He might be in the middle of, oh yeah. Instead of being offended, okay, we're coming now. Instead of being offended at the long service, I don't know why we got to have a long service. Instead of being offended with the long service, maybe that is your miracle service. But you're not going to get it if you're offended at the spit. You're not going to I'll just go there. Instead of being offended, oh, they always talk about money. I'm so offended. I'd bring my friends here if they didn't talk about money. I'm leaving, going to go down to that church that doesn't challenge me about my money. Instead of being offended with the offering, maybe there's a miracle in the offering. You may not understand it. It might seem messy, but I'm here to tell you there's a miracle in the middle of the mess. So here's the question. How are things working out for you? Are you blessed as you can be? Are you as happy as you can be? Probably should ask you. Probably should ask your kids. Is your family good? Are your kids good? Is your marriage good? Questions to be asked. Is your health good? Is your money good? It's funny how everybody thinks they know how church should be. Just give me a little miniature Jesus, but I still want the miracle. You can't have it your way. This ain't Burger King. Is your health good? Is your money good? Hear me, if it's not working for you, then maybe you need some Jesus spit. Maybe you need a double dose of an extra 10 minutes of service. I think we're so much trying to judge what we think church should look like that we're missing out on the God that wants to do something in our lives. You know, if they didn't do this, if they did that, if they didn't do that, and I think we're missing out. And if things in your life are not as good as you want them to be, I think we need to consider that we need some Jesus spit. Now, I'm not preaching to you. Don't get offended. This is what I've been talking to myself. Randy, it's not as good as it should be. You're not as happy as you. There's something not working. So I've been telling Jesus all week long, give me some of that Jesus spit. I need some Jesus spit that'll help me. That'll help me in the miracle. So what is in spit? What is in spit? Somebody tell me, what's in spit? Anybody know what's in spit? Yeah. Out loud, say it real loud, what's in spit? Yeah. Oh, okay. I heard germs. I heard mainly DNA, but I heard the pessimistic person say germs. You get it in every crowd, germs, bacteria, viruses. DNA. Jesus took his DNA and put it on the blind man. With the man's DNA, he's a blind man. But with Jesus' DNA, he's about to see. See, you could have looked at that as germs and viruses and fear, because that's how most of the church is looking at stuff. But with that man's DNA, he's a blind man. But with Jesus' DNA, oh, come on, there's a miracle in the mess. You see, with your DNA, you're a victim. With Jesus' DNA, you're more than a conqueror. With your DNA, you have permanent trauma. With Jesus' DNA, you have a powerful testimony. With your DNA, you have drama, drama, drama. But with Jesus' DNA, you have a destiny. You have a purpose. You have an assignment. You see, as believers, we are to be defined by God's DNA, not by our circumstances, not by our issues, and certainly not by our failures. Listen, we don't have to have a spittle Jesus because we have the Spirit of Jesus living on the inside. You didn't hear me. We don't need the spittle Jesus. We've got the DNA Jesus on the inside. We got the Spirit of God on the inside of us. Paul said it this way. It's no longer that I that live, but what? Christ lives within me. You have the DNA, the very nature of God Almighty. So let me give you quickly three thoughts or principles to see in everything clearly. Here's the first one. Don't settle for the village. Don't settle for the village. You can't have your miracle if you're going to settle in the village. Notice what Jesus says here. Jesus took the blind man, in verse 23, took the blind man by the hand, I love that, by the hand, and led him out of the village. So in order for this man to see, the very first thing that Jesus has to do is he has to take the blind man out of the village. Don't miss this. The first thing Jesus does is he removes this blind man from his surroundings. Why did Jesus take this man out of his city? Because according to scriptures, you can write this down in Luke chapter 10, verse 13. According to scriptures, this city that this man lived in was full of unbelief and self-righteousness. In other words, they were a city that did not think they needed Jesus. In fact, so much so, eventually this city was cursed by Jesus. Hello? Jesus took this man out of the city Because this city was full of unbelief. You see, sometimes what is holding you back or holding back your miracle, your breakthrough, is your surroundings. Come on, we're talking about principles. We're talking about principles to seeing everything clearly. Sometimes what's holding you back from your miracle, your breakthrough, is simply just what you're hanging out with, your surroundings. Sometimes it's not about you, it's about the people that are surrounding you. Example, we know that Jesus, in raising Jairus' daughter back from the dead, when he gets into the room, what does he do? He clears out all the unbelief. And then he says, Talitha kumi, come forth. And the child was raised from the dead. But Jesus first had to get the doubt and unbelief out of the room. So Jesus, catch this, takes this man out of his city or out of his village. Why? Because your miracle is connected to your atmosphere. Your breakthrough is connected to your surroundings. Your victory is connected to those who are around you. Listen, your destiny can be held hostage. Your miracle can be held hostage by your environment. So Jesus says, we can't do it there in that city. So Jesus takes him by the hand and he leads that man out of the village, out of a place of doubt and unbelief. This village had no interest in Jesus. So Jesus had to remove this man out of that environment. You see, maybe you're not seeing your salvation. Hear me tonight. Maybe you're not seeing your healing, your breakthrough, your deliverance, your freedom, because you're surrounded by people who don't believe. They don't believe that you're blessed and highly favored. They don't believe that you are anointed and appointed. They don't believe that you are the righteousness of God, because what they see in you is a blind man. What they see in you is a defeated person. What they see in you is a victim, a failure, and a misfit. Don't miss this. Jesus had to take that blind man out of his environment. They don't see that you are God's masterpiece in process. So he has to remove this blind man out of that environment. I like what Isaiah 42:16, there's a powerful, powerful prophecy. God's promise concerning his people who can't see his promises. They have physical eyesight, but they're not seeing the promises of God. Isaiah 42:16 says this, I will lead. God says, I will lead my blind people by roads they have never traveled. I will turn their darkness into light and make rough country smooth before them. These are my promises, and I will keep them without fail. God says, I'll lead my blind people by roads they have never traveled. Sometimes God's got to take you out of your environment. God's got to remove you from the doubt and the unbelief so he can work a miracle in your life. So Jesus says, I'm going to take you out of this place. Because they don't see you the way, I don't know if you're getting this. Because I got to remove you out of this place. Because they don't see you the way I see you. You've got to hear this. You have to surround. I know it's simple. But you have to surround yourself with people who will believe with you for what God has promised you. So, bluntly said, many of us are just hanging out with the wrong crowd, going to the wrong places, and we're wondering why things are not happening in our life. We need to, that's the reason why a moment like this is so important. We need to be hanging out with people who will believe with us for what God has promised us. Jesus stressed the importance of this principle. Jesus said this in Matthew 18:19. He said, I also tell you this, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. Let me read that again so I get it right. I tell you, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything, anything, anything. But there's got to be agreement. There's got to, you got to see the same way. You got to believe the same way. You got to be fighting for the same thing. Concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven, will he do it for you? For where two or three are gathered together as my followers, I am there among you. This is why it's so important to come together like this with others. Why? So that they can come in agreement with what God is looking to do in your life. For everything that God has promised in your life, it's in moments like this that we can encourage, that we can agree, that we can believe together. In fact, let's do a little bit of that right now. Just go ahead and look at your neighbor and say, I come in agreement that your family will be saved. Look at another neighbor and say, neighbor, I come in agreement that your body is completely healed. Come on, shout this out. Say, I come in agreement that deliverance and victory is yours. I come in agreement that God's blessings are gonna overtake you. Oh, you gotta say that again. Point to somebody. Say, I come in agreement that God's blessings are about to overtake you. I come in agreement that you're about to occupy all God's promises. Come on, that's why we come to church. That's we're agreeing. That's why we're here tonight. Shout it out loud. Say, I come in agreement for fresh strength, for new strength, and a fresh vision. If you believe that, if you agree with that, somebody ought to shout yes. Somebody ought to worship. Jesus says, if I can just find two, and there's more than two that's here. If I can just find two that's up on this earth that are walking together in agreement, that are believing for the miracle concerning anything they ask, he says, your Father in heaven shall do it for you. What are you waiting for? I said, what are you waiting for? You ought to get somebody in agreement and start standing and believing for that miracle God has for you. So don't settle for the village. Some of you, you're not seeing your miracle because you're hanging out with the wrong crowd. You can't hang out with doubt and unbelief and get your miracle. I'm going to say it again. You can't hang out with that negativity. You can't hang out with that social media post. You can't hang out on Instagram and expect you to get a miracle. It'll take life right out of you. It'll take faith right out of you. You can't hang out with negativity and expect God's blessings to show up in your life. And Jesus is grabbing you by the hand and he's saying, hey, we got to exit. We got to leave out of this. We got to get out of the village. We got to get out of the doubt and unbelief. Takes him by the hand and walks him out of that unbelief. Jesus is walking some people out of that unbelief. Some of us, we don't realize what's been hindering our miracles, simply hanging out with the wrong crowd. Let me give you the second thing. Second truth, second principle. This is the reason why I'm preaching this message, this principle right here. Don't settle for trees. Don't settle for trees. The first one, don't settle for the village. The second one, don't settle for trees. I was reading in a book, and the author of this book was talking about this passage, and he made this statement, don't settle for trees. And it has gripped my heart. It is consuming my life right now. Randy, don't settle for trees. What do you mean? Look at verse 24. Jesus said, can you see anything now? The man looked around and said, yes, I see people, but I can't see them very clearly. They look like trees walking around. I see people, but I can't see them very clearly. They look like trees walking around. That's not everything clearly. That's the title of the message. Everything clearly. They look like trees walking around. This is crazy. This is crazy because is Jesus asking this guy, he says, what do you see? Is Jesus really asking this man, did it work? I'm thinking about this. When I pray for somebody, I don't look and say, hey, well, did it work? Now I have every right to do that. But this is Jesus. Jesus prays for this man, and then he asks this man, hey, did it work? In all of Scripture, in all the Gospels, everywhere you read about Jesus, you never, ever see him ask this question before. Is Jesus second-guessing himself? Maybe Jesus is having a bad day. Hey, Jesus, maybe you should have fasted a couple more days before you prayed for this guy. Is Jesus having a bad day? No, absolutely not. This is very, very intentional on Jesus' part. Let me tell you why. Jesus is asking, are you ready? Jesus is asking this man what he could see because Jesus knew what this man could see. Let that sink in. The reason why Jesus is asking this man what he could see is because Jesus already knew what this man could see. You see, Jesus was testing this man about what he saw. Jesus wanted to know if this man was going to settle for trees or believe to see everything clearly. Or everything clear. Jesus wanted to know if this man was satisfied with just seeing trees or if he wanted to see everything that God had for him. You see, this man could have said, well, you know, at least I can see. I couldn't see before. I see something. It's better, but it's not the best. He could have been satisfied with the trees, but this man said, "No, I can't see clearly, Jesus. Wow, I can't see like I need to see. In other words, I'm better, but I'm not God's best." Why is this so important? Because the truth of the matter is, we all know this. We settle for better and not God's best. So many people are so glad things are just better that they give up on the whole idea of God's best, everything clearly. You see, we have way too many people in the church settling for trees, settling for better and not God's best, settling for part of their family being saved, but Jesus wants all of them to be saved. Settling for partial healing when God wants your whole physical body healthy, and settling for a partial breakthrough when God wants to bring a breakthrough in every area of your life. Settling for manna in the desert instead of milk and honey in the promised land that God has for us. You see, what God is looking for is a people who are not satisfied, hear me, with just a partial blessing, with a partial, this is the picture of the church today. We settle for trees when God has so much more. Well, at least I can see something. I may not be able to see clearly, but it's better than what I have, but it's not God's best. Better is not God's best. So you got a little raise. God's got more. So you got rid of that pain, but God wants every pain out of your body. I don't think you're hearing me. We do this in our marriages. Well, she's not treating me really good, but she's not treating me like she used to treat me. So we just live with average marriages, average homes. It's not God's best, but it's better than what it was. And we settle for the trees. God is looking for a people who are not satisfied with just a partial blessing, a partial breakthrough. God's looking for a people that want to see everything that he has provided for them. God's looking for an attitude that says it's everything or it's nothing. Jesus paid too great of a price for you to have a half of a healing. Jesus paid too great of a price for you to be struggling paying your bills. Come on, Jesus paid too great of a price for you just to see trees when he has a full miracle where you're going to see everything clearly. Every provision, every promise, everything that he has declared to you. It's time for us to see everything that God has for us. Somebody needs to make their mind up that they're not going to settle for trees. You need, I need to refuse to settle for anything less than what Jesus paid a price for. I don't have time to go into this, but I'm going to just hit the surface of it. But I just went back and started reading about the price Jesus paid. Wow. Promises after promises that Jesus shed his blood so that we could be redeemed. Jesus paid the price for your eternal life. Don't settle for trees. For God so loved the world. The Bible says that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting. Jesus paid the price so that you could have full eternal life. Jesus paid the price so that you could have new life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says it this way. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. Don't settle for trees. You are a new creation. You're not part of your past. You are a new person and forgiven. Come on, you are a new person in Christ Jesus. Jesus paid the price for your abundant life. It's the thief, Jesus says, that has come to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come that you might have life and have it mediocre. No, that's a wrong kind of ochre. Jesus came so that you could have not trees, but abundant life. You need to sign up for abundant life. Jesus paid too great of a price. If Jesus paid the price for it, it's time to have it. For those who refuse to settle for trees, we're about to see. Let me prophesy that. We're about to see the glory. We're about to see the glory. For those who refuse to settle for trees, we're about to see the glory of God. Everything that God has promised. Say this with me. Say, I'll never. I'll never settle for trees. You need an attitude that says, as for me and my house, we will see everything that God has for us. Let me just make it loud and clear. This church will not settle. We will not settle for trees. We will see everything. We didn't step out to step down. We stepped out to step up. We will see everything that God has for. We will not settle. The enemy is always fighting. This is what I'm trying to tell. The enemy will always try to get you to settle and not fight for what God has paid the price for. We're not settling. Somebody shout, I'm not settling. Not settling for trees. Not when God has promised me I can see everything clearly. That I can see all his promises. Come on, that I can see all his plans. That I can see all of his assignments. I'm not going to settle for trees. This church will not settle. Let me give you the third one. It's quick. Ooh. Ooh. Don't you dare settle for your village. It's time to come out of that village. Don't you dare settle for trees. Come on, God wants you to see clearly. Here's the third one. Don't settle for one touch. Don't settle for one touch. In Mark 8:25, then Jesus placed his hands on the man's eyes again. Jesus placed his hands on the man's eyes again. And Jesus placed his hands on the man's eyes again. And his eyes were open. His sight was completely restored. And he could see everything clearly. God touches him again. And this touch was the touch that changed this man. You see, you need to get touched by God until something changes in your life. That's the problem. We get one touch and we think that's enough. No. So many people got touched, radically transformed, radically changed, and then they stopped showing up. They stopped pursuing the things of God. This man's life was changed because he said, I got to be in a place where Jesus touches me again. And I got to be in a place where Jesus touches me again. Listen, you can live with one touch, or you can get touched over and over until it changes your... This second touch, it changed this man's life. If he just stays with one touch, he's going to see trees. But he said, no, I got to have more. I got to have another touch. I can't miss that service. I can't miss that gathering. I can't miss that worship. I got to get around other people who believe like I believe, that are fighting for what I'm fighting for. I need another touch. Come on, that's what we need. That's the reason why we get cold and indifferent. We stop allowing God to touch our lives. And the more that you stand off and without the touch, the colder you become, the more indifferent you become. You need to get touched by God. This is the point, until something changes in your life. One touch is not enough. It's touch after touch after touch. You don't want to just get touched once. You want to get touched until that marriage is like it needs to be. You need to get touched until that family is like it's supposed to be. You need to get touched over and over again until your physical body starts acting like the promises of God's word. You need to get touched over and over again until your finances line up with the promise of Almighty God for your life. Somebody shout, touch me again. Somebody shout, touch me again. Shout, Lord, touch me again. I think our cry should be, God, touch us again and keep on touching us until I'm changed. I need to put myself in a place where God touches me over and over and over until it changes in my life, until that sickness is gone, until that marriage is restored, until that poverty is broken off of my life, until that addiction has been destroyed. Touch me again, Lord. I don't want to settle for trees. I need a miracle in my life. So here's your new marching orders. Don't settle. You didn't hear me. This is why we're here tonight. This is why you're watching online. Here's the word of the Lord for you. Don't settle. Don't settle. Don't settle. Don't settle. You're about to see everything clearly if you don't settle. Come on, somebody shout. Somebody thank God.
Thanks for listening. If this impacted you and you'd like to partner with us, go to celebrationchurch.cc/give to help us reach people with the message of Jesus.